So the scripture this morning is all about grapevines, grapes and fruit and pruning and everything else you expect about it. Grapevines are really amazing plants. They're not attractive, are they? And they're not the kind of thing you would want growing in your yard. They like places that are hot and dry. They love things like the Mediterranean coast. They'll thrive just about anywhere. I mean, up in the states north of us, in the desert, you name it. If you can give them a little water, chances are a grape can grow and thrive. Now, given the conditions that they usually grow in, you would think that they are slow-growing plants. But the truth is that they are unruly beasts as far as plants go, if you've ever tried raising grapes. They prefer to grow and keep growing, and if you give them 10 minutes, they will sprout this canopy of leaves, which is beautiful, but there'll be no grapes. Left to their own devices and without any TLC, they get out of hand very quickly, kind of like us. And I think maybe that's why Jesus uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches. A grapevine and its branches, I think it's a perfect metaphor for our life in Christ. And just like branches, we tend to grow a little out of control. And when that happens, just like grapevines, what we produce with our lives is what? A whole lot of leaf and a whole little fruit. Have you ever had one of those periods in your life where it's been a whole lot of show and not a whole lot to show for it? All show and no substance? If you want to have a good crop of grapes, very careful and deliberate pruning is necessary. Right? Anyone have fruit trees or have ever had fruit trees? You can have one of two kinds of fruit trees. You could have a beautiful looking fruit tree that gives not much and very poor quality fruit, or you could have a very good fruit bearing fruit tree that isn't the best to look at. And that's just kind of the way it is with fruit. You get leaves and beauty, or you get good fruit, but you don't necessarily get both. Jesus says to his disciples, he, the gardener, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That's called canopy management, for those of you non-horticulturists. I looked it up. I didn't know that either. Because good canopy management deals with the biggest problem with growing grapevines, runaway growth. Vines left to themselves will sprawl out all over the place and produce huge canopies of fruit, of shoots, but not much fruit. So Jesus is very careful to use the image of the grapevine and the branches when he talks about our relationship to him and the relationship between him and his Father. Jesus is the vine whose job is to produce the best crop of fruit from us, the branches. It's Jesus' job to provide us with everything that we need to grow and grow strong, everything that we need for abundant life. And it's the job of the Father to do the careful and sometimes painful pruning that we need in order to produce the best crop of fruit that we can with our lives. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive in a way, right? To prune away that lush canopy of shoots in the spring and all of those beautiful leaves that a grapevine can produce overnight, because all of that greenery suggests that you've got a very healthy vine. But it's all show and no tell. And what happens if you don't carefully manage a grapevine? Well, you know, you take your glass of wine, and if you're one of those who has to, you know, you got the swirl going on, and you know that little sip, you know the whole thing, right? And you know right away if it's a good wine or a bad wine. And if it's a bad wine, it's not just because you spent $2 on the bottle and you should have spent a whole lot more. It's also bad because they were probably bad grapevines that were managed badly, and the fruit that they produced was not high quality fruit. And poor fruit means poor wine, no matter what you spend for the bottle. And Jesus is afraid at this point in John's gospel that his disciples might face that same problem. See, he wasn't interested in showy disciples any more than he's interested in showy churches or showy Christians. That was the job of the Pharisees and the scribes, to be all show and no go. That's one of the biggest issues Jesus had with them. They're all about show, and they're all about talk. But when the rubber meets the road, and it's time to do something, they're not there. They did it well. They did it very well. People and churches that talk a good ball game and look very lush and healthy on the outside, they're of no interest to Jesus. What he's interested in is fruit. And not just fruit, but excellent fruit. Because excellent grapes make excellent wine. And there's no use for bad wine. Jesus used the term whitewashed tombs when he was describing the Pharisees that were beautiful on the outside, but full of nothing but bones and dead things on the inside. My mom called them lace curtain Irish. I don't know if that's a New York Irish term or not, but any ever hear the term lace curtain Irish? They're the ones that from the outside, their houses look great because they've got beautiful lace curtains in the windows. Once you go inside, it's a whole different story of just complete family chaos. Lace curtain Irish. That image of the vine that Jesus uses here in John's gospel is used in Scripture many times as a relationship between God and God's people. In Numbers, Moses sends spies to scout out the promised land, and they return with a bunch of grapes. That's what they bring back to show how bountiful the land is. In Isaiah, Israel is described as the vineyard of the Lord Almighty. Jeremiah says the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, meaning that the children pay for the sins of the parents. Jesus tells the parable about the workers sent to labor in the vineyard at different times for the same pay, as well as all the vineyard workers who will kill the owner's son to get the vineyard for themselves. And he picks up that same biblical image of the vine and the vine grower here in John 15 to describe the relationship between him and his disciples. A grapevine is kind of like a community. It's a bunch of individual branches that are interconnected and intertwined with each other. Many branches that come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, but they're all designed for the same purpose, to support each other and to help carry the load of the whole vine. If you notice in a vineyard the way that it's carefully pruned along those wires and everything, those branches are there in that particular fashion to support each other and to help support the fruit. So what's grown is the best that it can be. Most of all, to bear excellent fruit. Now, while each branch is important, it's the overall quality of the whole crop of grapes from all of the branches pressed together that decides whether the wine will be excellent or like a $2 bottle. God, the vine dresser, the one who takes care of the vine, the one who tends to and prunes and looks after the grapes. God, like any good winemaker, knows that he needs to control the vine. And the goal of pruning is to do just that. Because first of all, you want to develop a vine structure that makes it easy to pick the fruit. Tom, we were talking about this with blackberries. If you just let a vine grow big and crazy, you can't get in there to pick the fruit. That's the problem with us branches. Sometimes all of the external things we have, all of the rules and regulations, or traditions that go unquestioned for too long, our undue concern with how we look and how we seem to the world outside our doors, all of those things can get in the way of not growing good fruit. Sometimes all of the show can keep the world from seeing the fruit that we bear. Any of you know a church like that where it's all about the appearance but not really about the substance inside? You know, the world is full of people searching for the truth. I'm sure you've encountered many, many people in your day searching for truth, for a sense of meaning. And you know what? We have the good news. We are a fruitful church, living out the good news in so many different ways. I see it each day of every week here, in teaching, in service, in charity, in love. There's no one better than you guys. The fruit is hanging full and ripe for picking from our branches. But sometimes we hide it a little too well, if you know what I mean. Jesus calls it hiding our light under a basket. You know, the church has some very fine baskets, but the world doesn't need baskets. It needs the light hidden underneath the baskets. The world doesn't need shoots or leaves or branches. It's got plenty of those. It needs fruit. So are we willing to allow God to prune us, to let our fruit be visible for the world? Are we willing to rethink some of our traditions and the ways we have of doing things so that others on the outside can more easily see and find the gospel truth that we carry? Are we willing to allow music or worship or church programs or rules and regulations to keep people from finding the truth that we've been entrusted with? Are we willing to allow all of those things that we fight over as a denomination to hide the fruit that we bear? You know, the buzzword for the church for well over a generation has been church growth. But if you notice, in this image of the vine and branches, he doesn't call the vine to grow. He calls it to bear fruit. When God takes the pruning shears to our life, or to the life of this church or any church, it's not an issue of whether we're growing or not, but of what we're growing. See, we all bear fruit of some kind, but the issue is the quality of the fruit that we're bearing. And a sour grape is fruit, right? But it's still a sour grape. The aim of God pruning us is to strike that perfect balance between growing and producing. Without new shoots and leaves and branches, we can't have fruit. Those things are important. We're not people without a life, and it's within our lives that the fruit of the gospel grows. God wants us to have a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, God not only tells us to get a life, but he tells us to get an abundant life. And he says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Jesus tells his disciples that the way to have a real and abundant life is to have a life that's rooted in him. And it's only when we turn to Jesus and Jesus alone as a source of everything that we need that we can have that abundant life that Jesus wants to give to us. Jesus, the true vine, is able to provide for us all that we need to thrive and bear fruit and bear it abundantly. But we have to abide in him. And that's the word that plays over and over again in this passage, abide, which is kind of an interesting word because we don't normally use that word. Anyone use that word abide this past week, past month? I don't think I have. It's not a word we commonly use, but it's richer than just hang out with or dwell with. Abide is much more kind of interconnected than that. We must abide in Jesus. That's the key to the whole passage. And if we try to make a go of it on our own, we'll dry up and become nothing but dead wood, and we'll be hauled away for firewood. See, the big question isn't to ask ourselves how big our church is and how big the programs are that we want to grow. And it's not to ask ourselves how great our worship services or our church programs are, because that means nothing to Jesus. The big question we need to ask ourselves is, are we growing good fruit? Because it's all about quality and not quantity. Because quality grapes make the best wine, and quality church members make the best church. So are we nice and plump and juicy? You know, you go to the store, you're looking for those green seedless grapes, right? Nobody wants grapes with seeds to begin with. But you got to pick up each bag, and you got to kind of weigh the bag, and you got to look for the wrinkly, icky ones in there that are maybe starting to fall off the stem, and you want big, fat, juicy ones, right? Are we nice and plump and juicy and yielding award-winning wine? Or does our juice tend to be kind of watery and not much use in making good wine? And what can we do about it? That's what it means to be a true branch of the one vine. Amen.